You're tuned in to 91.3 KXCI Tucson. My name's Matt, and this is Locals Only. I'm live in Studio 2A with the Zach Taylor Trio. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
So let's start off with introductions. For those who aren't in the room, tell us who's in here and what they're doing.
Bruce Halper.
Hey, I'm Bruce Halper, drummer, Tucson, Arizona.
Hi, I'm Brian Green. I play bass.
These both are great musicians. I'm Zach Taylor. I'm a mediocre guitar player.
And a humble one, too. So, Zach, how long have you been playing out under the Zach Taylor Trio moniker?
It's been about 2 years now. First year, nothing was really going on. And the gentleman that I wrote the songs with is all gone now. Everyone that I wrote the songs with are gone. So picked up Brian and Bruce. Started all over again from scratch. Tried to do some... real jazz instead of doing the covers all the time like everyone else does, trying to stray from that and kind of get the younger people into jazz.
Yeah. So what was it that specifically led you to recruiting this rhythm section?
I didn't really recruit. They came. It was the it was the Wonder Power Rings Unite. It just happened. We all formed Voltron, and it works out really well. Yeah, Bruce plays with Brian, and these two are well renowned around town, so I'm really, really lucky to be playing with them. And they just I acquired Brian by luck, and he brought Bruce with
him. I go wherever Brian goes.
Yeah.
Zach called me on a Tuesday and said, I got a gig Thursday. I said, okay, great. Do you have any charts? He said, no. I said, well, what is the material? Is it standards? No, it's all originals. I said, perfect. I can't screw that up.
Yeah. Can't. It's wonderful. It's fun.
Yeah. You know, in seeking to bring original jazz to Tucson, which I agree is something that's probably in short supply here, what were you trying to capture? Are there particular influences or strains of jazz that you wanted to bring to the fore?
It's a great question. Originally, when I first heard Modesky, Martin, and Wood when I was a kid, and I'm only 31, so I still am a kid, according to some people, that was a great mixture of jazz and kind of funk and even a hip-hop element. And I got so stuck on playing so many standards and so boring and just no one cared. It was all, I excuse the term, but elderly people who really just didn't care. And when we would start doing stuff that could kind of brought the use, bring some Wes Montgomery into it, kind of a doo-wop feel, bring some funky Miles Davis into it, and just do original straight stuff. I mean, that's what I was trying to do. And with these guys, they really brought their own element in as well. So, Tucson is in short supply of that, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a guy at Sky Bar the other night who compared us to the Bad Plus, and that was a really nice compliment.
And they're awesome, too. Yeah. They're great. They're great.
And certainly a good example of, being able to bring jazz to a different audience.
That's it. Nice. You can get the youth into something and say, hey, where'd you get these riffs? What do you do? Oh, well, go home and listen to Love Supreme.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which
right.
I listened to when I was 17 for 6 months straight.
So maybe there's a 17-year-old who has this on in the car right now and is going to go Google a Love Supreme.
Yeah.
And done your good deed for the night. So what has been the reception as you've been playing out over the last couple years live?
It's been decent. We have our nights. It depends on where you play. If you're on 4th Avenue, that has its own element. Perhaps jazz really doesn't have a lot going on there, but I do appreciate some bars are trying to do it. Like Mr. Heads has their own jazz night now. So does Sky Bar. We've been invited to some of those. Cafe Passé. A lot of people are trying to get it back in, and not, what I said before, not the sleepy time stuff. Some original, some more upbeat stuff that'll bring people off the streets who hear it. I think that's what they're looking for, too.
Are there other groups or jazz artists in town that you see as trying to do the same thing? They've got the same mission.
I love Jazz Telephone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, love them. Guys, they're great musicians, great guys. If they're listening right now, you guys are awesome.
Naeem and Jeff.
Yes, they're great. They're absolutely wonderful.
So if people like what they've heard tonight, do you have any regular shows that people can catch you at or anything upcoming they should know about?
We have some shows at Sky Bar coming up. We have the September 25th at Mr. Head's. I haven't told these guys about it yet. They just found out right now.
Seems in keeping with the spirit of the band, though.
Yeah, and, October 4th at Sky Bar, and we have two more shows in November. So we do. Yeah, just check out Sky Bar's.
A couple Tuesday nights in November.
Yeah, Tuesday nights is their jazz nights. We will be there.
Cool. And if people want to find you online, where do they do that?
You can Facebook us at Zach Taylor Trio. We're right there. And we do have an album, but it's self-titled, not a really huge deal. Kind of some songs we just did, the ones you're going to be hearing tonight. There's only 7 on there. We'd gladly give you one for free. You don't have to pay for it. Music should be free.
Here you go. And also, if you like this set, it'll be available for streaming on the KXCI website as well on the Locals Only tab. We're going to do a little less talk, more rock tonight, seeing as these guys are jazz musicians. So in theory, they should be able to fill as much time as we send their way. Yes, Bruce.
Correction. I am not a jazz musician.
All right. Well, they've got a jazz set for us, and I've been promised that they've got over 2 hours of music. So we'll cut down on the talking and send it back to the music here for another 20, 25 minutes or so, and then we'll chat for a few more after that. So thanks for tuning in to KXCI. You're listening to the Zach Taylor Trio on Locals Only. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're tuned in to 91.3 KXEI Tucson. My name is Matt. This is Locals Only, and I'm live in Studio 2A with the Zach Taylor Trio. Thanks again for joining us tonight.
Hey, thanks for having us.
So you've been listening to, for the last half an hour or so, Original Jazz by the Zach Taylor Trio, as I said. And before you had mentioned that you released an album, I wanted to talk a little bit about that. You're playing some of the songs from that tonight. And you'd mentioned that many of these songs were written sort of with a previous lineup of the band. So I want to talk a little bit about the songwriting process and then how, if at all, the songs changed with this new configuration.
That's a very valid and interesting, good question there. First off, he was one of the best bass players I ever played with, Rob Obregon. He played with a lot of people in town. And an old drummer of mine, Greg McLeod, who since moved to Mexico. We started with them, and we only did it just to make money. Because it seemed to pay. And it was fun. Me and Rob I wrote most of the songs, and Rob would chime in and absolutely help and write. It was a 50-50 thing. And then when Brian Green stepped in, it was an absolute different story. Because with his different bass playing techniques, different chords would come forward. Mm. It was absolutely incredible. It was totally cool to write with this guy because all the songs kind of developed differently than when we used to do them. It was really interesting. It's a mathematical equation. One little
stumbling
one little
through
exponent changes, right? And then the whole song changes. Absolutely, it was wonderful though. Yeah. It was great. It changed with both of these guys exponentially.
So, Brian, what would you say you've brought to the group? Is there any change that you've noticed palpably?
Well, I never really heard them before.
Keeps me in check.
Yeah. I don't know. He shows me some chords. This is what I'm doing, and I say okay, and then I pick out chord.
Yeah, we don't actually practice or anything like that. It's kind of the point where that's all dead. So I guess he doesn't feel that he does, but he really does. He brings a ton to the table.
And in recording the album, what do you think are the challenges of recording jazz? Is there a risk that you run of having the songs become sort of crystallized in our current form, or do you see those versions as just sort of one of many, or are those the definitive version of the songs?
I compare, whenever you do a recording of jazz, I always think of the album Kind of Blue, which was done in one whole recording start to finish, and he just had some charts. Miles Davis had charts to Coltrane and everybody else, and that's what blows my mind. And if you do a jazz recording and you want to have a solo over it, I don't feel you should do a solo over another guitar part. I think you should do it right then and there. So then I get nervous and I mess it up, and then the fees go way up because I'm there an extra 4 hours.
Right.
It's difficult at times, but it takes a lot of practice, that kind of thing. And working well with the guys in the studio at the same time and not having those mess ups, those mistakes, and practicing before you go in is a big key too.
Mm-hmm. And as we've discussed throughout the night, these are originals that you're performing. How much structure do you have in the songs? Would you say that most of the time you're performing more or less the same song?
Strophic is the right word. Strophic is the technical term for jazz bands that have a reoccurring theme.
Wow.
Otherwise, yes. You guys didn't know that?
Oh, I do.
That's the real word. Wow. Otherwise, it's...
One would hope.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's just freestyle. Yeah, strophic is the right word. That's when you have set forms of different chords that you put together and make it organized, or you're just freestyling, doing freestyle jazz, and that's a little tough for some people. Otherwise, you're just kicking it on one chord the whole time.
Right.
And that's no fun.
Yeah. Do you feel like the new material that you've been writing lately is markedly different than what you're doing earlier in the band? Do you think that it's in the same vein?
It is in the same vein. With a lot of other projects that I'm in right now, there's nothing else that I can... I always go back to the same thing. And what I write with Brian is essentially I just show him some stuff, and he's like, well, let's do this, let's do that.
Yeah, when Zach comes in and shows me something, I just try to figure out some sort of groove to play under the whole thing. And then it lets him take a lot of solos underneath that without getting... without losing people's interest.
And essentially, that's what I was doing with the old.
Losing our interest, even. Yeah,
right.
More importantly, I suppose.
Yes. But it doesn't catch my interest.
I'm going to take a nap over here.
Yeah. And Bruce, where do you fit into things? You just show up, take off your shoes, and start hammering away? Or do you practice with these guys as they're writing the songs?
Well, we just pretty much show up and play and try to have a good time with it.
I really like Zach's style. He has a really cool kind of West Montgomery thing going on, and I love the traditional sound of it.
Yeah.
And the tone. Of course, Brian is always fun to play with, so I just try to do the best I can, really.
You do all right, buddy.
You know, we've sort of danced around some of the things that that have drawn you to jazz, and the things that particularly have drawn you to original jazz. But what was it in the first place when you were growing up, you're first exposed to the music? What is it that pulled you in? What is it that has compelled you to, you know, be still producing jazz music now?
I absolutely have the answer to that. I know exactly what to answer. It started when I grew up in New Zealand, going to a boarding school where you pull your socks all the way up to your knees and you went to church on Wednesdays and Sundays, and it was horrendous. I hated it. I was the only American in the school. I was the only American. I hated it. New Zealand's a great place, but... And so on every Sunday, they had their own version of NPR in New Zealand, and Sunday nights, I would put on my headphones and lie on the top bunk, and they had big band jazz on Sundays. I do believe I was exactly 12 years old. And they had Count Basie, and it was a big Duke Ellington fan, and the big band jazz... This is where I learned the word strophic, was where things were organized very, very much to the T. And Duke Ellington being a bass player, that's where I got into it. And from there, the older I got, the more freeform stuff I got into. Some of it I can't listen to anymore. Like Live Evil, I'm burnt out on Miles Davis Live Evil. But that's where it did start. I do remember it very well.
Well, I'm glad we did this show because I knew nothing about Zach Taylor.
We don't hang out. We're not buddies.
Yeah. New Zealand, huh? Wow.
we're all learning a lot tonight, I guess. You mentioned that you're involved in other projects. I know all of you are involved in other projects. Anything coming up that you want to plug for?
Well, apparently we just heard on the radio that Leela's playing tomorrow night. I don't think we're playing with her, but Bruce and I are Leela's backing rhythm section.
Yep.
And we're playing with her on Saturday night. I'm also playing with the Possibles on Thursday night, opening for the Modines at Sky Bar.
You're in like 9 bands, man.
Yeah. I'm in a couple.
It's the second oldest profession.
Oh, boy.
You can't give yourself a drum roll. It doesn't work that way.
No, I know.
All right, and on that note, we'll get back to the music here. We've got about 20 minutes left here on Locals Only. Again, you're listening to the Zach Taylor Trio, bringing you live original jazz here in Studio 2A. At 10 o'clock, we'll send it over to the Hub, but until then, here's the Zach Taylor Trio. Thank you.
that up?